Hi guys, it's Eric RPG. I've got another review for you, and this time it is finally the long overdue Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom review for the Nintendo Switch. And this is a direct sequel to Breath of the Wild, although based on some theory crafting and general piecing together how this works, this may not be exactly a sequel in the same way that one would think, because of certain shenanigans that happens in a sequence with Link and Zelda uncovering some records, which they decide to investigate the royal tomb somewhere, and then that ends up unleashing Ganon. And Zelda seemingly disappears, and now you have to look for her, and then now there's all this gloom coming up, and then you wake up a mysterious dude. It's obviously Ganon, but they don't know that, the characters do. But, he's stuck down there trying to regain his strength, and you're trying to find Zelda so you can figure out what you need to do. And you're on another hour's spending adventure trying to find out what's going on. And that's mainly the plot of the game, because the game doesn't have much narrative beyond that scope. Because due to the way that it's constructed, I actually feel it's somewhat narratively weaker than Breath of the Wild. Because the game is set up in such a way that once you get to the lookout landing, which is like a hub area for Hyrule, it's near Hyrule Castle, you get access to a main quest, which lets you activate random phenomenon going on in various corners of Hyrule in the various regions, and those are where the main dungeons are. And since it's set up the way it is, it assumes that you'll tackle that in any order you wish. So the same basic plot line plays out, where you're looking for Zelda and it ends up not being Zelda. And that's just the plot of each of those subquests that lead to that, up to that main quest. And they're written almost exactly the same way and play out almost exactly the same way, and there's little to no character development for your partner companions that you run into. And there is a little bit of co-op play, because like you get some random NPCs to follow you during these sequences, and then afterwards you get their ring that lets you summon a phantom version of that character. And they have multiple different functions, like Tulin lets you have a air dash when you're hang gliding, so that's nice, and that can help you get some extra distance. And then this Yunobo, he gives you an ability to basically destroy boulders that are blocking caves and such without having to use bombs. They're not as effective as bombs, but they're kind of free. It's free, so if you don't mind waiting for a second for the cooldown to finish up, which doesn't take very long with him, that's helpful. And then there's the thunder ability from the previous game. It works a little bit differently, but it's basically the same thing. But now you don't have to wait forever for it to recharge. But, and then the last ability is, a water shield, which basically makes you do a water slash attack, and also gives you the wet status, which plays in conjunction with a couple weapons that have certain abilities that just strengthen your attack power while you're wet. And since you're covered in water, you're considered wet, so you could take advantage of that to make yourself really powerful. And, if you were not a fan of Breath of the Wild because you had some quibbles about how the game played, like the fact that there's a stamina meter and then there's nothing you could do to really make that better other than having reduced stamina usage through consumption of potions or food items. Speaking of food items, there is one benefit to that now, that they improvement from the previous game where if you make a recipe, the game will record it in a recipe book, and then you when next time you try to make something, you can pull from the recipe book and it'll just automatically do it for you instead of you having to remember it all the time. So that's nice. So the game doesn't fix the problems by changing up the gameplay completely. So if you want reduced stamina usage and rebalancing stuff like that, they won't do that, but they'll give you workarounds more items will give you more stamina consumption reduce stuff like that, or you could still only max out your stamina at 3. I wish they could have just across the board reduced the amount of stamina you use when you're doing anything, because running still takes a lot of stamina to do, and it drains pretty quickly, but it also recharges fairly quickly too, but not as much as I'd like. But it would have been better if they just got rid of it completely. But there are other workarounds, like the game's new Ultra Hand ability, which replaces the Sheikah Slate. One of them involves the use of these things called Zonai devices, which is also another central theme of the game. I said there wasn't a strong narrative, and there is, but it's kind of loosely connected, kind of like in a Dark Souls fashion, where you have to piece together the ideas and through the memories, just like Breath of the Wild, but it's more of a story about Zelda and what she was doing wherever she went, and that stuff is good, but the actual narrative of all Link, that's pretty weak. But I know I'm going all over the place here, but with that stuff going on, I actually lost my train of thought, but there's so much to talk about here, and I got off on tangent, but I'll just get back to that later. But it's minor adjustments like that, but the Zonai devices, you could just use those to make a vehicle, and then you don't have to worry about running all over the place. And you can actually use these devices to defeat enemies in various ways. Also, there's a lot more materials collect now, and you can throw these materials and use them as weapons if you want to do a challenge run and do that. That's fine, but that makes fighting certain enemies like the big boss Bokoblins and the dreaded Lynels more of a joke to deal with, because that you've got ways of confusing them or blinding them. In fact, the Stalfos and the Stal goblins and stuff like that can be killed instantly with the Dazzle Fruits. I didn't even know this until I had played some time into the game, but I was strong enough at that point where I just slash at them and stuff like that. But the game also has a hidden experience system, which was also in Breath of the Wild, but it's definitely more deliberate here because it happens a lot sooner. So the more enemies you kill, the more experience you get, and the more experience you get, the stronger the enemies get. And while your character doesn't get stronger, this means the stronger enemies have stronger weapons, and that'll just mean you'll be that much more prepared for later challenges in the game. So in a way, you are getting stronger. It's a weird Nintendo solution to everything. And along with stuff like repairing damaged weapons, people complained about the weapon durability. They did rebalance weapons so that they wouldn't break as easily, but they still break fairly easily. But there are workarounds, there are Octoroks in the game that will suck up your weapons that you drop on the ground spit them out, repair them, but then also give it, like, a nice little buff at random. And it can increase its quality up to a grade of 3. And that's indicated by a blue diamond icon. It starts at yellow, then it goes to blue. And, or is it the other way around? I can't remember. So yeah, there's no... They didn't fix the weapon durability, but they did, you know, make it not as much of a pain in the butt to deal with. So it's minor stuff like that. It's like, if you can be okay with that idea, maybe the things you didn't like about Breath of the Wild might make you take another look at the game. And one place I'd actually recommend is to watch Top Gaming Plays videos for some weird nonsense that other players have gotten up into. And maybe watch videos to give you some hints to better play the game and better enjoy it. Because this game, unlike Breath of the Wild, gives you a lot more options to make your experience all that more pleasant. And that's actually, I think, what makes this game much more recommendable than the previous game. And despite the fact that I'd give the original game a 10 out of 10, I'd also give this game a 10 out of 10. But I think this one deserves it more than that one does. But, and so I've given you your score. And I really liked doing all the shrines. The way that the new Ultra Hand abilities are incorporated make for much more interesting puzzle solving, and there are meatier side quests with stronger narrative rewards and more substantive rewards as well. But the old style side quests that would give you crappy rewards still exist in the game, but they call the bigger ones side adventures. So you'll know which ones to look out for if you want to get a substantive reward for. So that's nice. Sorry I'm coughing, but my throat's giving on me. And I know I went overly long on my last couple of reviews, but I think that's all I really need to say about this game. Other than you should really check it out. Especially if you played and enjoyed Breath of the Wild, and even if you didn't, this should give you consideration for checking, for giving it another chance. But if you don't want to play through Breath of the Wild and you just want to jump in this one, you can just watch a nice summary video somewhere of someone playing the game, or just getting basic plot details out of the way from that game, so that you don't have to spend the time actually playing it yourself. But like I said, it's definitely game of the material up there for me. But with that's all I have for today. See you guys later. Bye-bye.